This morning, before we get to a choir song or a song, Jackie's got something to say this morning. Come on up, Miss Jackie.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I just wanted to thank everybody for the successful vacation Bible school we had yesterday up in Roan Mountain. It was a gorgeous day. The Lord blessed us with beautiful weather and beautiful children, and we had a bunch of great looking adults that helped out as well. So I just want to thank everybody. We had many blessings throughout the day. We got in creek at the end of the day, and that was a little treacherous. But other than that, we had a great day, and I just want to thank everybody for everybody's help.
And you're going to see pictures, I guess, here in a little bit.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life.
She'd been there, right?
Well, what a day we had. It was a great day. And if that doesn't just thrill your heart, nothing like children. That's our future church. We want them to love Jesus and have him in the heart. And then they can have a full life for him. But it was, we do thank everyone yesterday that helped with that. It was a special day. And God gave us the most beautiful day in Rome Mountain, Marie, that you've ever seen. Now that Marie knows all about Rome Mountain. She got her feet dirty up our whole lot. She knows about Rome Mountain. God is so good. 351 in your book. Let's sing about the old time religion. Let's stand and sing it together.
Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old-time religion, 'tis the old-time religion, 'tis the old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for our mother. It was good for our mother. It's good enough. me, and it was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me, and it will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Yeah.
I love that. Y'all learned a lesson from over here. Which one was that? Did you say amen, honey? That sounded so good. Yeah, the right side. The left side my way. Oh, man. Y'all looking good. Had a great day up at the Rhone. I know you've been told that already, but I got to tell you, too. I spent some time up there before I had to leave and go to a 50th wedding anniversary. I would rather stayed in the mountains and even got in the creek with the kids at the end, but I wasn't able to do that. But what a day it was, and it was just wonderful. Just like one big old happy family having a reunion up there. And it was really good. I wish you could have been there to have seen it. John even rode in on his motorcycle. And the kids got excited, and John had to fight them back away from the exhaust pipes. You know how that is. Okay, I do want to make this announcement before we receive the offering. If you are going to the Ark next week, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you pay attention to that leaflet that Angie gave you. It's important. We are going to do something that you've probably never done before, and I'm going to ask Tom right now if he wants to have prayer meeting Wednesday night next week. Do you want to take care of it? Because all those who are going to the Ark won't be here. Okay, so here's the idea. We won't have Wednesday night prayer meeting service this coming week. Here's the reason for it. We're going to be leaving here about 3:30, you know, to head up that way. And I'm saying for all you ARC people, in case it wasn't on that page, bring your pillow with you. Okay, bring your pillow, because you're going to be relaxing and putting your head on that pillow and sleeping up toward Kentucky, okay? So come ready to have a good time. We might even get in the creek at the end. Who knows? Okay, if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. Man, God's been so good. I am so blessed by how God has blessed our church and the individual members. So please worship Him today. Worship Him. Praise His name for every blessing that comes to you and your family and your friends. Tom, would you bless this offering?
Father, thank you for this opportunity, for all your blessings. Lord, I pray especially for Brenda this morning. Would you guide the doctors? Would you touch her as only you can? May she realize, oh God, your grace is sufficient in the hospital or out. And Father, for that grandfather, whose granddaughter was killed this week, Lord, would you touch him, comfort him as only you can. Thank you that Shirley's back with us. Thank you for all your answered prayer. Now, Father, I pray for our pastor. I pray for Jesse and Henry as they sing. Lord, would you anoint him? Would we hear from you through the song and through the message, that we might give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Before we sing, I just wanted to say, again, just about Rum Mountain, it was a blessing, and I loved going up and being asked to come up and take the pictures, because it was awesome. We had 262 pictures in total, and it was so hard to pick just the bunch that you saw up here, but that is the first Bible school we've had since COVID, and it was awesome just seeing it all and having fun with it, and it was just a relaxing time and enjoying, and the children learning about Jesus. It was just a great time.
Mother, do not cry for me. All of this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I'm right here. Can you hear my voice? My life, my love, my Lord, my baby boy.
As they nail me to this tree, just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will, to have your Son and my Son killed?
Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not, it's not the end. I am making all things new again.
And lives you've changed, and this world repays you how with all this pain.
And as they nail me to this tree, just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can your Son and my Son killed?
Whatever
happens,
whatever you see,
I don't want to see,
whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not,
tell me it's not,
it's not the end. I am making all things new again. Woo! Whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not,
no,
not the end. I am making all things new again.
That music at the end is for you to have time to think about what you just saw. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? Good to see everybody. Marie, good to see you. When Marie feels as good as she looks, she can jump fences. We have a little girl had a birthday yesterday at Bible school. Shada, stand up and say how old you are. 15. Woo! And very colorful. She's the one you saw in the video that was up in the air with everything out in her hair flying high. Yeah, it was a great, great day. Oh, there's going to be more great days. In fact, there's a great day coming, folks. Y'all ready? Well, we're going to make sure today. This is the day that if you're not sure that you're ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you make sure you listen real close, because I'm going to ask you the question. You got to answer it, and you got to answer it truthfully in your own heart. Are you ready? It's a simple question. Let's read some scripture here, if we may, in 1 Thessalonians. Normally, when I get into this scripture, I am at a graveside. That's normally when I'm in this scripture. But today, we're in it here. Now, I don't want you to think forward and think I'm doing your funeral at the graveside right now. I just want you to listen to this scripture, because this scripture needs to be important to you and your family before you get to that place at the funeral home or the cemetery. It's okay to talk about funeral homes and cemeteries, folks, because it's part of life. Death is part of life. So let's read what it says. But I would not have you. Now, the word "but" there, you know, we always make that a little louder, because it means something. You have to know what he said before, and if you want to know, you go back and read it, but because it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now that simply means that if someone you know has died and gone on already, and you're still here when the Lord comes, here's what's going to happen to your loved ones. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word "prevent" means to go before them. In other words, there, and I'll get into it again in a minute, but that means your loved one who has passed away in the Lord, saved, they will go before you. And then, here's what happens. We're not going to prevent them or go before them which are asleep. We're honoring them. How do you like that? God's honoring them by giving them that spot. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. You like those words? Caught up. Together. I like the word together there. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now go right on down to chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then, now that they is not the them of the Lord, okay? You need to know who they are. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know anybody that's lost in your family? Any of your friends? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. That's us now who are right here. Don't go sleep on me today. You go sleep on me today, I might just sling a songbook back that way and wake you up. That's not what he's talking about here. We know that. We know enough gospel to save the world. You don't need another message from me today. You don't. You know enough to save the world. But God has given us this message to remind us that he's coming, and we need to make sure that we're ready. But let us watch. Do not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. That word sober means that you know what God has said about it. You believe what God has said about it. You're settled with what God has said about it. You're calm, cool, and collected with what God has said is the truth. That's the sober part. We're real about what we're saying here today, folks. This is as real as it gets. Let's ask the Lord to bless this, okay? Lord, we do thank you for what you've already done today. We want to thank you for touching the hearts of those children yesterday and the adults who were there. Thank you for those who served the kids in Bible school. I thank you for everyone who's sitting here in this congregation today. And Lord, I pray that everyone leaves today knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that they are ready to go. And we're going to praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to read one of the verses that I never had in there, and I didn't give it to Stacy, because I, at the time, it wasn't part of what I was doing. So I want to read that now, if I may. In Matthew, and you can turn to it if you want to, Matthew 34, 24:44. And here's what it says. If I can get there. I know I had it marked because I just marked it a few minutes ago to make sure I read it. Hang on, don't go away. Did I say that right? 24:44. I'll get back there in a second. I had a whole lot of pages here. Okay, ready? One verse. I was going to read three or four of them there, but I want to read this one. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who? It's a good question. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Now, can somebody tell me what the verse right above that says? Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not. Now, you're not going to catch a Christian sleeping, right? He says, don't do it. So if he says, don't do it, we're not going to do it, right? We're going to take him serious. We're not going to be sleeping. He's not going to have to wake us up when he comes back. And this, in a time as you think not, it's going to be a surprise, but it's not going to take us so much so that we don't know he's coming. We're watching. Right. Lost people aren't watching. Amen. That's going to be the biggest surprise in all the world for the people who are lost. Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? This question does not have any flexibility. You can't stretch it, mold it, make it to be what you want it to be. It doesn't say, do you plan to get ready? Because everybody I've talked to that's not ready, they have plans to be ready. Now, as you know, plans aren't ready. If you've got plans, even if you're into the planning stage, you're not ready. You're only ready if you're ready. Has nothing to do with your planning to get ready, or do you want to be ready? Everybody I talk to wants to be ready to go when the Lord comes. So I'm asking again, are you ready? Now the word ready means fully prepared. Fully prepared. Now, I looked up two or three different definitions, and also knowing what ready means biblically, and it's pretty close, folks. When he says be ready, he's not talking about being the stages of being ready. He says, are you ready? There's nothing else to do, is what he's saying. Because you're ready for any action that might happen or a situation that might come up. You don't wait till the action starts and then you get ready. You don't wait till the situation comes up and then you get ready. He says, are you ready? And we need to know if we're ready. Paul's teaching here is urgent. When you read it, you get an urgency about it that you don't get in some of the other scriptures, because Paul was an urgent man. And the subject is so vital for what we're seeing today. I hear more people talking about how things have so changed that surely the Lord is soon to come. Just too many things going on that just aren't right, folks. And we know that they're against what God is saying in His Word. And Paul says it's urgent that you can answer this question without any hesitation. Are you ready? You can only be ready if you know the facts and you accept them for your eternity. And there's a difference in how we accept things, folks. If we can accept things lightly, you know, I've done that a lot of that over the years, accepted things lightly. This is not something you accept lightly, because this is something you accept for your eternity. Are you ready? I'm going to ask some questions or give you some reasons why you can say that you are ready. If you know these things and you believe these things, and I just read them, but I'm not going to go back to the scriptures and read them. I'm going to just give you the things that I want you to say in your heart that you know that's the way it is. That the Lord will come again. Do you believe that? Do you believe He will come again? Now, that could be an open-ended question in a way, in that you could say, well, yeah, tomorrow, next week, next month. No, I'm talking about right now. As you sit here, right now, do you believe that the Lord could come and that He is coming and that He could come right now? Because that's how we have to answer this question. The Lord Himself, not another, the Lord Himself shall descend. Now, I talk to a lot of people who talk about death coming. You know, it's okay to talk about this. Our young people need to hear the realities of leaving this world down here, because they're not here forever, folks. When I was young, I thought, well, yeah, I'll be here forever. In fact, when I was a teenager, it wasn't really what a Christian does is listen to Elvis Presley. But I listened to a little Elvis because I was a teenager. And some of you, probably older ones, not the younger ones, they don't even know who he is. But that was just where we were. We listened to some music that we weren't supposed to listen to, but we listened to it anyway. But I wanted to tell you this, that Elvis probably thought he was going to live forever too. And as he went into his career, a lot of other people thought, yeah, that's what's going to happen. We'll all just go out together at some time and go into the sky of some Elvis country somewhere. Well, that didn't happen. Elvis died in his 40s. People that I knew then who was a teenager with me, they've already gone on. Well, about everybody has at my age, but a lot of people at that time have gone on to be with the Lord. So we're not guaranteed anything here. We're not guaranteed to live for any certain time. So when we say death is coming, folks, that's the least of our worries. Death, we shouldn't even talk about death coming. We should talk about the Lord is coming. Jesus is about to bust those eastern clouds and come back and get His church. When you look at it like that, the death doesn't make any difference. Because we are leaving here. We ought to treat each other the best that we possibly can, because you may not have each other tomorrow. I listened to an old preacher say one time, before they left the sanctuary for a service, we may never meet this way again. And what he meant was, somebody might be missing next time we meet. And that's true. I'm just being real with this thing. If we're going to believe that the Lord's coming again, and we know it's not the death that's coming, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's coming. It's not the Holy Spirit coming. It's the Jesus Himself coming back to get His church. Now, it's a very personal coming, because He says He is coming for you and me. That's very personal. And I would say, if that's the case and He's ready to come and I'm ready to come, that makes it personal. We're going to meet and things are going to begin to happen, and we're going to be heading up. And if you're dead in that grave and you're shooting up first, if I'm still here, I'll catch up to you. Don't you worry. I know how to do that. I know how to go into third gear and then shove it on into fourth and pop that clutch and catch up with you. So don't try to outrun me if you leave here before I do. I'm going to catch you in the air. And then who are we going to be with? Well, yeah, he's the one we're going up together with. It's not about any competition between us. It's about being with him. He's the one. So if we believe that the Lord will come again, then let me ask you some more questions, because I got them. Are you ready? Let me ask that again. If I say, are you ready? Say, yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you're not, then don't say that, please. Yeah. Okay. Then, that those who sleep in Jesus will come with him. Do you believe that? Now, I ask that because how many of y'all have family and friends who are gone on? They're in a grave somewhere out here in a cemetery. Every hand? Yeah, we do. We know somebody who's already there. Well, do we believe that when Jesus comes, that they'll come with him? Do you believe that? It's true, because here's what happened. All those who have died in the Lord, and we use the word died in the Lord, they have been put to sleep. Now, I'm going to divide that for you in just a second. We believe they died and we went to the funeral home and we went to the cemetery and they lowered the casket down and put our body in the ground, right? So we died. But what happened? What does it mean by sleeping then? Is death sleep? Well, not so much. Don't get into that. Because what he says here, we go to sleep in Jesus. When you leave here, your body stays in the grave here. You are gone, but you go to sleep in Jesus. By his grace, he made that so that you could do that. He's just going to wake you up when the time comes to come back, and you're going to come back with him. So in his grace and in his presence, those that are asleep, those that have been saved in the Lord, and if you've got a loved one, you got to rest in this. You can't have any doubts whatsoever, because this is where your peace and calm and comfort comes from, is knowing that those that you loved who have gone on, it's okay. Because you're going to be with them, they're going to be with you, and it's going to be okay. In verse 14, he said this, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You believe that, right? Then let's look for them. Because if we're going to be looking for Jesus, let's look for those who are coming back with him. They'll be there with him. And it'll be like a big old reunion, and we're going to have a good time. When he comes, he'll bring those redeemed. I'm redeemed. You redeemed? You know you are. You've been bought and paid for with a price. You don't own yourself. He owned you. Everything's okay. So when he comes back, he's coming back with those that he redeemed. They're his special treasure that he bought them by his blood, paid that special precious price of his blood so that we could have the opportunity to not only be saved here on this earth, but to get ready for him to come back and take us to be with him forever and ever and ever, never, never to be separated from him. Amen. Never. That's good stuff. You need to know that. Christians need to know that and live like we know that. Sometimes we cower down like we're not supposed to believe that gosh awful stuff. That's crazy to believe that you're going to leave here and be with Jesus in the air forever and forever and forever. No, it's not, because the Bible says so. If it's what I said, you could say, yes, that's crazy. I've said some crazy stuff, but not about the Word of God. When I read the Word of God, it is the Word of God. So, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And when he comes, folks, I'm coming with him. Now, that those who are alive when he comes, that may be you, don't know, could be. But those that are alive when he comes shall not go before them, and I just pointed this out a few minutes ago, shall not go before them which are asleep. Do you believe that when he comes back, those ones you love are going to come out of the grave first? You know that. Your grandfathers, your grandmothers, your dads, your moms, your children, whoever that is, they're going to go first. They're honored. They're put in line there, that God made a place for them to be. They're going to go first. That's what he says. Those that have died in the Lord actually go to the head of the line. I don't have a problem with that, because I know he's not going to leave me here. I'm just going to be a tad off, and then I'll catch up. And then we'll be together. Together. I love the word together. That's why I just love having my family over together. We just last week had a good time there at my house when the family comes over together. And it makes me sad when all my family can't be there. But it, same thing with the church, you know. When you have things with the church, you want to see all your church family there. And when you don't see them and you find out they're sick, it hurts your heart, right? It hurts your heart more when you find out they just didn't want to come. I'm talking about family. You know, sometimes you have somebody just don't want to come, right? And best thing to do is just don't try to find out why. Right? Amen. Don't try to find out why. Just let it alone and it'll be okay. They're still family and they'll come around. That's the way I believe it. Same way within the church, folks. But when we have something together, it just is special. Well, the Lord's figured this all out. You can't mess this up. You can't mess this up by saying, I don't think I'll attend. Oh, you will. Yeah, you will. And you know what? You'll be delighted to attend. You're going to be looking forward to it. It's going to be better than Big Bear Mountain. How many of y'all know what Big Bear Mountain is? I see a few of you Dollywood people in here. It's going to be exciting, folks. Be the most exciting day you've ever had in your life. You're leaving here and not on a jet plane. He's got it all figured out how you're going to go up in the air. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe that the dead in Christ are going to rise first? Now I know I'm kind of connecting these questions together, but you need to answer these separately. Do you believe that those who are dead in Christ shall rise first? If that's you, do you believe you'll go first? Or are you going to try to say, I don't want to be first. I've never been first in my life, and I don't want to be first now. No, you're not going to do that. As soon as that new body is there ready to get out of that grave and go, you're going to be excited to go. And you may holler at me, Dan, you better hurry, I'm out of here. I say, don't worry. I've got a full tank of gas and I'm ready to go. It's high test too. God doesn't do anything in low test, folks. He does it all in high test. Only they that are Christ at his coming are going to leave here and rise first. That's the only ones. It's a shame that we have to think about those that are not ready, but I'll get to there in a second. Those that have died trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by his grace, his marvelous, amazing grace, will have a part in the first resurrection. You say, why'd you mention first resurrection? Because you need to know that there is a second death. I need to let you know there is a second death. The second death is not a dying that you would recognize that we have here, that we recognize dying, what happens when a person dies. The second death is eternal separation from God. Now, when you leave here, there is no second chance for you to do that. That's why we got to be ready. That's why you got to make sure everything is in order. Because once you leave here, there's not going to be a second chance. You got to be ready. And I pause sometimes because I want you to hear that. And I want it to be fresh and new to you, that you realize there will be no second chance. Be ready. I don't want to be separated from the grace of God. I don't want to be separated from his kindness toward me. I don't want to be separated from his love for me. I don't want to be separated from what he's been to me, the blessings that he's been to me. I don't want to be separated from him at all. He loved me first. I got a chance to love him back. And I don't want to be separated from the one who loved me so much that he would send his son to die for me that I could live forever. I don't want to be separated from him. And you do believe that we're going to be caught up together. Now, in this congregation right now, if you know most everybody in here and you're looking around, is there anybody that you don't want to be together with? I say that because sometimes in churches you have little things, you know, that happen that you don't necessarily like or agree with, or, you know, maybe they're different than you. And that's, we're all different. I'm as different as they come. So if you don't like different people, you don't like me, right? Because you won't find anybody like me. And we won't find anybody like you. You're different. But you know, when we leave here, we're going to be together. And we need to learn to be together down here. And by the way, if I'm going to be together with you, I'm going to get to know something about you. I am. And I may invite you out for a cone of ice cream or something. And if I invite you out for a cone of ice cream, I may even get it dipped with chocolate. I mean, that's a plus, buddy. Yeah, I'm going to treat you good. Y'all want to treat each other good, don't you? Everybody, don't just pick out people you want to treat good. Treat everybody good. Because we're together now. How much better is it going to be when he gets us together? We're going to go up together, and we're going to be with him in the clouds, and we're going to be there forever and forever and forever together. Those who have believed in him for salvation shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How quick that is. We'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. We'll have a new life. Going home. And together with those who have been raised from the dead, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that's the key, to meet the Lord in the air. Can't wait to see him in the air. Can you? I want you to, when I'm preaching, I want you to visualize the things I'm saying. I want you to visualize. You know, I know it's a spiritual thing, but I want you to visualize meeting him in the air. Try your dead level best to do that. It's important that you visualize it. By the way, you believe you're going to be with him forever? You got to know that too. Forever. Not going to go anywhere else. Going to be there forever. That's what he said. By the way, don't you want to be with somebody who has all power in heaven and earth, who knows all things everywhere at all times, who's going to be everywhere at all times? Don't you want to be with the person forever who has all that? And by the way, it's all directed towards you. I want to be with the one who created the heavens and the earth, because he created them for me. He did. And I want to be with him forever. But I got a sad note here. Do you believe that this will be an awful day for unbelievers? Now, just as much as you believe all this about how good it is for you to be saved and that he's coming back for you to take you out of here and take you to be with him in glory forever, just as much as you believe that, you've got to believe that that's going to be an awful day for the unbeliever. And if you know in your family or your friends a person who is an unbeliever, do something. Do something. I'll pray for you that God will give you the courage to say something to that person. We must. Don't worry about hurting their feelings. I would rather see them in glory forever than to be afraid to hurt their feelings and not say anything. Because how else are they going to get the word if you don't obey God and give it to them? So if you know somebody who's not saved, just ask them. Say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It's a real simple question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Do you know that? We got to ask them, folks. They're not going to be mad at you. I guarantee you, because they know you care about their eternity. So do we believe that this is going to be an awful day for unbelievers? Because he says, while they are saying peace and safety, he will come as a thief in the night. Thieves come at night, you know. Let me just take a moment right here. The Lord just laid this on my heart. This little lady down here at this convenience market down here, Roadrunner, that's in our neighborhood, folks. That's two blocks away. That's just one block from where Doris lives. And I prayed for Doris last night because she called me three or four times yesterday and talked about the police coming to her house looking in her garbage cans and things like that. But that's in our neighborhood. We've never had anything like that to happen here in our neighborhood. But it happened. And I pray for those people who killed that little girl. I pray that they'll know Jesus Christ is our Savior before they leave here. If not, they'll go to hell forever and ever and ever. And some people say, well, that's good enough for them. No, they need to know Jesus before they leave here. My first thought was I wanted to get a hold of them that would go in and kill that young girl. But it lets us know how quickly that kind of thing happened. If they don't know Jesus before they leave here, they'll leave here as an unbeliever. And hell will be their home forever and ever and ever. Burning. I got to say this because in this day and time, nobody wants to believe in a burning hell. But I'm telling you, the Bible states it, and the Bible's very plain. They'll burn in hell for eternity. Don't burn up. You say, I don't understand that. You don't have to. See, when we set things fire, they burn up, don't they? God says they'll burn forever in hell, forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you believe that? You see, if we believe that and we know someone, we're going to find a way to say something to them. And I pray today that we leave here thinking about that person that we know who's lost. Now, one more question. Do you believe that the Christian should be looking for his coming? Visibly looking for his coming. I used to kid Tom. He lived in Elizabethton. And I used to kid him that that's where the Lord's coming from, you know. From the Elizabethton area, because that's east. That's the eastern clouds. Now, don't get the big head, all you Carter County people. Just because he's coming from that direction, okay? But we know that he's coming. No matter where you are, the east is going to be somewhere. And he's coming for you. He is. And you're the children of light. If you're a child of God, you're the children of light. He's not going to catch us unaware. Because we're watching. And we're sober. Right? We're sober. That more so than sober away from alcohol or drugs, we're sober in our thinking about where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know. You know, I hate to bring this up in sanctuary, but if you were to get pulled over with a DUI, and they're going to ask you questions, and if you can't answer them, If you're not sober enough to answer the question truthfully, honestly, and with some kind of clarity, thank you, clarity, you're out. No, you're in. Right? We need to be sober in our thinking. And we need to be sober about this message today. We need to know, beyond a shadow of doubt, that if he comes today, we're ready to go, and we're going with him. Romans 13, because I know I use the word, it's time to wake up. In fact, I think I sang a song one time. It's time to get up. Time to get up, wake up and get up. Romans 13, 11, 12. I want to read that. If you're there, turn with me. Would you do that? Because this is the last thing I'm going to be leaving with you. Romans 13, 11, and 12. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time. That's an old East Tennessee phrase. You know, it's high time you did that. Now is the high time to awake out of sleep. That's if we've dozed off with what we know and we're doing absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. That's people who are asleep, dozed off. I can go to sleep. If I'm in my recliner watching a ball game, if it's not a good ball game, I go to sleep. I don't care about that ball game. I don't care about anything that's on when I get ready to go to sleep. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to sleep. In fact, we say, let's watch a good movie. Or my dad used to say, it'd have to be an awful good Western for me not to go to sleep. That now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, you're saved, but the culmination of that means that he comes back. And the line is drawn, and it's all over. The salvation is complete. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's where we need to be. And church, as Liberty Fellowship Church, in this community or wherever you work, wherever you shop, you are a representative of this body of believers. Because if you say you go to church, next question, where? Right? Where? So you're a representative. But more than that, we're representatives of Christ himself. Did we answer all the questions correctly? So one more time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time that we've had in your word. We thank you for all the good things that you have done for us as a people, as a church. And Lord, we're ready for you to come. And I pray, oh God, that today all of us can answer that honestly, that we're ready. We won't be ashamed when you come because we've been sleeping. God, I just pray that we're doing what we're supposed to do as Christians, but then for those who are not saved. Oh, Lord, I pray today that your sweet Holy Spirit has awakened their heart and soul, and they too want to be one of your children. We're going to praise you, Lord, for what you do in the hearts of people here today. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, please, if you would. And if you need to make a decision today for your salvation, you can do that. If you've just been thinking about all those questions and you want to make sure that you've answered it with the correct answer, you know you're ready. No doubts whatsoever. then we're going to share that gospel with others. Do you need to make a decision for the Lord? Make it today. You can make it right where you stand, because if you do, it'll make a difference tomorrow. Sing that chorus. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling sinner, come home. Earnestly and tenderly. We need to be earnest and we need to be tender in our living with other people. Compassionate, loving and compassionate. Tell them about a wrathful God if they don't give their heart and life to Him. Love you today. But folks, He has the side He has to be faithful to also, in that He'll judge the sin and He'll proclaim sentence on the sin too. Got to believe that. It's what makes Him special to us. Amen. Come back tonight. Okay? Because we may just add a little bit more to what you got this morning that will connect up. And many of y'all wonder about the rapture. You know, you hear a lot about the rapture. Do you know everything you want to know about the rapture? Well, come back tonight. Yeah? Keep it simple. You have to keep it simple for Tom. Now, let me give you another reason to come back tonight. How many of y'all ever have birthdays? Well, we've got some folks who have had birthdays, and we're having a birthday little bash right over here at the fellowship hall right after service. And I promise you that I won't be very long, so that we'll have I can talk fast. If you can listen fast, I can talk fast. But we're going to go over here and have a little birthday time together. You'll be able to sit around, talk with each other, talk with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll be good. So let's get back here tonight at 6:00, okay? God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I'm going to ask John Augustus if he would dismiss us in prayer.